This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:05, Tuesday, 8th of March. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Tan Chen Lee, Philip C, and I'm Wong Xiaoning. Let's have a quick recap about how global markets closed yesterday.
And continuing the red trend, everything was just in red. US market Dow was down 2.4%. S&P 500 was down 3%. NASDAQ down 3.6%. Asian markets, Nikkei down 2.9%. Hang Seng down 3.9%. Shanghai Composite down 2.2%. STI down 1.2%. FVM KLCI down 2%. Everything just down.
Bloodbath, man.
Clearly, one of the worst days I've seen in quite a while. So for some thoughts on what's moving markets, we speak to Joel Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joel. So let's just look at U.S. equities for the moment. So the S&P 500 sank almost 3%. It's the worst day since October. NASDAQ dropped 3.7%. It looks like we are in bear territory. What's next for markets, though, Joel? Are we going to expect more dips in the next few days?
I think we're going to see continued volatility because we don't have any real certainty in and around what's happening in Ukraine. So, yes, I think there's more volatility. The financials got beat up pretty badly today. Oil had a good run. So I think, you know, kind of the weaker are going to get weaker and the places hide, whether it's gold or commodities, nickel. I think they still have a bit. So not until we get clarity, any type of sunshine or rays of hope out of, you know, Central Europe, are we going to be in the clear, beginning to be in the clear?
Okay, Joe, the other thing that I've been hearing increasingly a little bit more is talk of a recession brought upon by, of course, inflationary concerns, rising oil prices, and the impact that will have on global economy. Am I being too negative here?
No, unfortunately not. You're not being too negative because I would say you're already seeing the bear market in the big major indices in Europe. Europe is very close to going into recession. It was even before the crisis in Ukraine. So that's the big concern. You remember the EU27, that's the second largest economy in the world when you aggregate them. It's about $18 trillion. They're on the cusp of a recession. These food importers like Egypt, Syria, they're going to be really hammered by higher food prices. So they're going to go have in recession or difficulties. The U.S. could be the last man standing, so to speak, and China. But, that doesn't give too much, comfort to investors when they look globally around the world.
So how would you look at your portfolio then? You know, what's the shifts and what do you rotate out into? That's a big question, right? I presume energy is the sector to get into.
Yeah, well, I'm not looking at my portfolio. Think of it this way. We like fuels, aerospace, agricultural commodities. We like nuclear and renewable energy, and we like gold and metals and minerals. So the big issue there is, like, people say, well, oil has already run up too far too fast. You know, same with nickel and gold. I wouldn't think so, because the earnings power behind these companies is still pretty robust. I mean, we're not at the peak of oil just yet, so people feel like they've missed the energy move. Not necessarily, because as talked about, there's still a lot of uncertainty out, and the earnings power and potential, I don't think, is really reflected fully in the price of these stocks just yet.
The other thing, Joe, is that cash hasn't been very popular in the last few years, especially because, it's an environment of ultra-low rates. But do you think it's time to perhaps raise cash and keep a higher level of that in these kind of markets?
Not necessarily, because with inflation as rampant as it is, we could see an 8% print on inflation here in the U.S. It's just a losing proposition. I would put more money into, say, good dividend grower or a bond proxy. I would not go into cash just here, because the inflation story, we haven't reached peak inflation. So until we do, cash is suspect.
And we were talking about energy. Oil spiked to a 13-year high on speculation that the U.S. is discussing a possible embargo on Russia. Although the U.S. only gets 7% of its total supplies from Russia, how much will the average American consumer feel the pinch of a rising price?
Well, we're above, on national average, we're above $4 per gallon. So that's got a lot of people riled up. But remember, oil is a global commodity. It's priced globally. It does affect the rest of the world. The biggest issue with that's the key, but it's the Europe recession will be energy induced. So the higher oil prices stay where they are, natural gas prices, Europe is just teetering on into the recession. That will work its way back into the U.S. credit markets, increase third party kind of risk amongst banks. It just has this kind of cascading negative ripple effect. So that's where it's going to be coming through. But clearly, you know, rents, food, and energy in the United States, that is biting more and more. People are really getting frustrated and antsy about rising prices, for sure.
So, Joe, are we close to the point where we will see demand destruction then for oil prices?
Unfortunately not. I don't think we get there until like 150, 175, where people just stop. Yeah, 150 in that range. You know, the street estimates are between 125 to 175. That's a broad range. I don't think we're there just yet, but we're getting pretty close. People might drive instead of fly. That's why the airlines are getting hammered. People are going to move down, you know, in terms of brands for food. They'll buy the generic. So, you know, we've seen this before, and it takes a long time for this to work its way out. So that's why the markets are still on a knife's edge, because we haven't had the peak in uncertainty with Ukraine. We have not had the peak with inflation as well. And then there's, you know, secondary effects, whether it's in Egypt, the emerging markets, that are still yet to play out.
What does this then mean for global growth? I mean, other than the fact that there's going to be recession, is there any sweet spots at all? Could ASEAN be that sweet spot? Because when we look at the indices on a year-to-date basis, we're still in the green, albeit very, 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 very low numbers, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the good news is, particularly here in the United States, the pandemic stage is going to the endemic stage. I mean, people are going back to the office, they're traveling. Masks are coming down. So I think this is a very nice tailwind in the face of all these problems. So could we have a global recession? I don't think so. It's going to be isolated. It's a few emerging markets, Europe, the U.S. will grow at a slower pace. We were looking for, say, 3.5% growth calendar year 22. Maybe it's closer to, say, 2.5. We're still going to expand the pie, but at a lesser rate than what we had before. Maybe the Fed doesn't go 7 times this year as we expect. Maybe it's 3 or 4, and they go, you know, in very much more measured pace. So there's still a lot of policy options left, but the uncertainty in and around Ukraine, energy, Europe, it's still, you know, we're at the peak of maximum pessimism yet, and that worries me.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Ending the call on a rather somber note, isn't it? He's very pessimistic about where markets are headed.
I was going to ask him whether I should buy at the dip. I think the clear answer was no.
The dip hasn't arrived yet.
hasn't arrived yet, exactly.
We don't know how deep this dip is going to be.
I know, that's the big problem, the volatility, the uncertainty. And can you imagine demand destruction with the oil price range, 125 to 175? That is breathtaking for me.
Mm. You know, if we want to know how volatile markets are, right, there's this index that you can look at. It's called the VIX index. It's where you buy an option to protect yourself against any downside. And the figure is up 4.47% this morning. It's 36.45. And I've seen that number creep up again and again in the last few days, indicating perhaps that traders are very nervous in terms of where markets are heading. So be prepared for this ride. Joe is warning us. Perhaps we won't see a global recession. Maybe the US economy might be the one that endures the best, but it's clearly going to be challenging times for markets.
I find it very interesting because the two largest economies, the United States and China, seem to be able to weather this pretty well, right? They expected to do well. I think we saw a couple of days ago, China also has amped up its GDP growth targets. What we're seeing is that the rest are being left behind in the process.
Actually, it depends on how you see the Chinese GDP target. Some say it's actually rather on the conservative side because it's actually a 30-year low of 5.5%. Yeah. So it depends on how you see it. Different people see it differently, but definitely these two seems to weather it much better than the rest of the country.
I think 5.5% in this current climate is extremely good, if you ask me. There have always been questions about that because, you know, it's a huge country. So, and the data, how accurate is it? But it's clearly what the Chinese government is targeting. And we'll be discussing that later on, right, at 7:30.
That's right.
We'll be talking about what comes out of the NPC, which is one of the critical meetings that China has every year. Now, even in China, they are setting, we are seeing record bond market pullouts from foreign investors. So foreign investors have reduced their holdings of Chinese government bonds by the most ever in February. No thanks thanks to Russia's invasion of Ukraine that has roiled fixed income markets worldwide. So even they are seeing an impact. So last month, overseas investors stole a net of 35 billion yuan or 5.5 billion US dollars of giant Chinese government bonds. And this is the largest monthly cut on record.
Question is flight to safety. Where does this capital go, right? As Joe was saying just now, don't keep cash. So where are the havens then, essentially?
Gold. Look at gold prices.
Well, gold this morning, $1,998 per ounce, inching ever so close to 2,000. It's close to 10% up on a year-to-date basis. Of course, commodities still doing very well. Brent crude this morning, $123, up 4.32% and up 62% on a year-to-date basis. And practically, whether you're on nickel, whether you're on aluminium, whether you're on wheat, whether you're on palm oil, cocoa, everything is close to its all-time highs.
Yeah, and it's a big question mark. You know, what does it mean for the consumer? And there's a very big point that there's, like, it takes a long time for it to trickle down to the consumer, isn't it? We talk about the prices now in the studio, but what it means to the pump, what it means to prices, that actually has longer-term reverberations, isn't it?
It also, what does this mean for corporate margins, right? Because they will see some compression and they will be reluctant to raise prices immediately. In the meantime, we might see earnings shrink. What does that mean for markets? Does valuations look a little bit expensive when you factor it into, you know, the pricing of whether it's the Nasdaq, Dow Jones or S&P 500? But we'll be following this discussion very closely. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.